When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And thank you so much for joining us for our ROH post show for Thursday, August 29th. We appreciate you being here. We love hanging out with you on Thursdays. We love having SP3, who is, are you in a steam room somewhere? I see pipes this time in your...
Yeah, I've adjusted because I have a little bit more space in here now, but... Yeah, it's a little roomier. I'm sitting on my all-in third row chair. So it's a whole new setup. But yes, I have the pipes in the view, but don't worry. I'll be okay. It won't be bursting.
I love that you got to go to all in. I love that you got a little more space, a little more breathing room. We got a little more breathing room in this ROH product, so get in those super chats if there's anything that you want to talk about tonight before we dive in, because people are always still filtering in at the top of the show. I've always realized, I think because it starts at 9 o'clock, that sometimes people pick up a little bit later. But let's take a couple minutes to talk about All In. You were there at one of the greatest pay-per-views I think AEW's put on, one of the greatest pay-per-views I think, regardless of brand, that I've ever seen, with one of the most incredible moments at the end of it. I lost my mind somewhere in the middle of this show, as I'm sure, I would hope, you thought about me, your dear co-host, at least once when Nigel McGuinness and Zack Sabre Jr. were in the ring at the same time. But how was the live experience? What was it like being there? How are you feeling coming out of it?
I told you before we went live here, I think it was the best stadium show I've ever been to. As far as like AEW pay-per-views, I think it's right up there, because I think I've seen three of the best. I think the best they've ever done is All Out 2021, but yes, 2 through 4, I think I was live for. I went to Full Gear 2021 with Hangman beating Kenny Omega in Minnesota.
Another phenomenal pay-per-view that had Darby and MJF opening too, I think.
Yeah.
My favorite Darby match I think I've ever seen, but one of my favorites like in general. Eddie and Punk, that was incredible.
Yeah. I think that show had one of my like favorite cards, in that it had just multiple matches.
Miro Danielson, like, yeah, that card.
Christian, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus versus Super Click. That was a great matchup as well.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Yeah,
so multiple matches on that one. Lucha Bros and FTR was also on that one as well. I went to Revolution earlier this year with Sting's final match, which I think is up there at the best AEW pay-per-views of all time as well, with Ospreay and Takeshita being one of my favorite. At the time in March, I said Ospreay and Takeshita was probably the best match I ever seen live. And then I was there on Sunday, and that completely got changed, because Brian Danielson versus Swerve Strickland is a religious experience seeing it live, especially where I was in the third row. People on social media, as well as our good friend Jeremy Lambert, said I was in the Brian Danielson family section because I was right behind Bree, Birdie, and Buddy. And I was literally like at times living vicariously through Buddy Danielson, who was the the most hyped person watching his dad perform that I think I've ever seen in my life. He's like banging the barricade like he's at a 2000s Ring of Honor event. He's like getting hyped to the, he's almost trying to jump over the barricade to the point Bree's like calm down. But then at other times Bree's just watching on and just smiling, seeing how much he's getting into it. I was there right behind them as Swerve came over and pulled bloody dada over and stomped him in the face and then told Birdie, I'm doing this for you. And legitimately, Kate, everyone watching, they had to console Birdie for a good 10 minutes.
I'm sure. Knowing Daniel said he was probably like, we're just going to have to traumatize them. We can't, if we warn them about it, it'll take their reactions out of it. He's that much of a sicko, I think, but very
he does it for the business.
He does it for the business. It's true. And God bless Bree for hanging in there with all that. But my gosh, condolences to that whole family actually today as well with the news that unfortunately dropped about Nikki. We hope that they are okay. But we're not here to talk about All In. We kind of are a little bit. So is that good?
Just a little bit. Nigel McGuinness came back. And if there was a roof on Wembley Stadium, it would have not only just popped off and blew off with the pop that he got. I would have went through I almost went through the stadium opening because I jumped out of my seat. I was trying to record it at the same time, but I couldn't control myself. I felt like I was back in the 2000s Ring of Honor.
Dude.
Oh my God.
I love pops that have the double pop of the Titantron hits and the music hits, and then the person comes out, and that had one of those where it was like that second wave that was so great. And then when Zach came out, I had like the triple reaction of like, oh my God, Zach's in this, is amazing. And then I had the moment of like, holy shit, him and Nigel are going to be in the ring at the same time. And I got super emotional. And then I was so blown away by that match because everything with Zach and it made wrestling sense of like, they were chasing Danielson. He had the history with Orange Cassidy, Kyle O'Reilly, Okada, obviously. I was like, oh, this is like extremely well done just from even the in-ring storytelling part. Like,
brilliant
stuff. But we are going to dive into this episode of Ring of Honor. I see more of you are here, so that's why we wait to hit you with the plug. Sorry, you're going to get the laundry list of things we ask you to do now. But we do ask you to please leave a thumbs up on this video of all post shows. This one is the one that we need it the most. We need the most algorithm help the most. So please leave that thumbs up. Drop a comment to let us know how you're feeling about the new Ring of Honor. And of course, subscribe not only to this channel, we're at 115,000 strong, I think, but to FightfulSelect.com. Just to switch it up, Sean posted some contract news. Hasn't been a lot of that this year at all. Humberto Carrillo earlier this week, Nikki Cross today. So much stuff going on. That Warner deal is coming down the line. There were so many scoops for All In. I imagine there will be more at Bash in Berlin this weekend as well. So please support. That's how we get paid. That's how we function here at FIFO. That's our lifeblood. So Mama's got to get paid, so get over there and subscribe. All right. We do appreciate it sincerely. Sincerely, you guys are incredible to us. But speaking of incredible, bro, our forever champion, man. I don't even know what we say about Athena anymore. In this Proving Ground match with Aaliyah James, I still maintain the criticism that people in the locker room should be wanting title shots and they should be wanting routes to title shots. Your women's roster should be trying to compete for the title and therefore getting proving ground matches as opposed to enhancement talent or dependent talent. No offense to Aaliyah James. I'm going to talk about how great she looked in just a minute because this was one of the longer ones. So I appreciate that for sure. I feel like a broken record of saying that, but it is a logic flaw. I feel the need to point out every time because Rachel Elring's like, I'll mess around with Harley Cameron instead of going after the title. I don't think so. I don't buy that from my Rachel L. Ring of Honor here. But the match itself was fantastic. You have so much fun happening in here. You get our forever champion winning with the crossface, which was a little bit different for her. But a really nice flying crossbody and Aaliyah James from this that kind of like caught Athena's attention, I thought was a cute spot. It was like she has such a commanding presence that She sometimes gives her opponents these openings for her to be like, okay, fine, you're going to come at me like that. I love those moments with Athena. And we got that one here, but some good stuff in our match. What did you think of our opener, SP3?
I thought it was a fine way to kick off the show. I love Athena in these Proven Ground matches where she doesn't give her opponent too much, but she gives them just enough. Where Aaliyah James got to kind of showcase her abilities here. I like that little spot with the flying crossbody. And I like the fact that Athena, you could tell Athena was kind of taken off guard by how much offense Aaliyah James was able to get on her by how long she held on to the crossface at the end. She wanted to make sure that she hurt her just a bit, despite her getting the tap out victory. And Aaliyah James felt those chops because you could see the bruises on her chest by the end of the matchup. So I like this opening matchup here. I like the post match as well with Abaddon and further development in the Minion saga. We are now calling it a saga. It is now a saga, legitimately. And the fact that Billy gets no credit for anything. Billy cuts off Abaddon with the ROH Women's World Championship, Hintner with it as Athena was getting chased around the ring. But Athena was so scared of Abaddon, she missed Billy giving her the assist. And Billy, stupidly, I'm gonna call her out for being stupid. Why did you drop the title? You gotta have the proof that you were the one. She just drops the title. But Abaddon could have woke up and grabbed the title. But thankfully, Lexi grabbed the title, being the responsible minion that she is. So she got all the credit for what Billy did. And I love Lexi. She's just happy. She's just happy. She didn't even try to be like, no, it was Billy. No, she's just gonna take the credit and then make sure that Billy is celebrating with them at the end of it. So, and I love Athena being like, give Lexi her credit. Give Lexi. Yeah. Billy's like, it was me.
And like so innocently. Yeah, that post match was so much fun. So Abaddon does come out. I don't want to give credit for things that people should be doing all the time, but the they/them pronouns are still something that is new to commentary, and Ian and Caprice just, they're here, like, yeah. without any discomfort around it. We're going to talk about them a lot tonight, especially in that Pure match, because my God, do they add a lot to this show. But Abaddon arrives. Really, really fun stuff. Seems like maybe we are heating her up for spooky time of year. I'm not too mad about it. I just don't want Abaddon to be pigeonholed into spooky time of year. But some good stuff here. And to your point, the post-match that unfolds with, we'll call it the Minion Saga. You got the Iliad, the Odyssey, and you've got the Minion Saga here. Very, very fun with Athena. And to your point, Lexi just proudly taking credit for cutting off the pain at the source, if it were. And Billy Starks just, what the heck, man? It was me who did it. Like, so great. So innocent. So much fun. Really, really good stuff to get our show kicked off. And as we're still kicking off of our show 10 minutes into it, we were talking about All In at the beginning of this, but we're seeing more people tune in. Thank you so much for doing so. Please drop a thumbs up on this. Touch tips in the chat. They weren't on the show tonight, but that, when I say that's been following me everywhere, I mean it happened on my Mark Order post show yesterday, which is not even on this channel. It follows me to my SmackDown post show. It's everybody's touching tips out here. We love that. We love that.
Tip touchers unite.
It's true. Tip touchers forever. But we move on to Johnny TV and Sydney Akeem's ROH debut. Sydney Akeem, the former Scripps, the former sommelier to Carmella. Very cool. Very cool to see the in-ring debut of Sydney Akeem. To get to see Sydney Akeem and not Sydney Akeem under a mask. Sydney Akeem as Carmella's sidekick. Like, just getting to see wrestlers as themselves is something that is refreshing in general, but I feel like is the most common in ROH too, just by the nature of the product. So he did great in this, but this was to set up the win for Johnny TV. The most notable spot in this, that Starship Pain that nobody was home for, and Johnny just landing on his freaking head. Oh my god. I don't know if it was because Ishii was on this episode as well. Like, I don't know why everybody's landing straight up on their heads, but obviously we have the Cirque du Soleil background of Cindy Akeem. We have the parkour background of Johnny TV. This made sense as a first match. And I got to say, Johnny TV, from an in-ring standpoint, it's so funny that it starts here. But, like, that Johnny Drip Drip stuff in WWE was objectively bad. It was dumb. It was stupid. But in-ring-wise, it was like he had found his way to ground a lot of the incredible stuff he can do in very logical ways. And seeing that pay off, like, now with how he's able to kind of guide people through matches a little bit is cool. It's like that chain of command is kind of passed on a little bit. And I love to see that. But good for Cindy Akeem, kind of relaunching his post-WWE side of his career. Glad he got a good showing here. Glad he's still at it. You like to see people get to continue on with their dreams after unfortunate kind of stuff happens. So happy about that. What did you think of what we got here?
Huda Man, Sydney's you unite, you know, from one Sydney to another. Love seeing Sydney Akeem here. It's a great week for Sydney's. RIP another Sydney's, Psycho Sydney, Sydney Vicious. So yes, us Sids need to stick together. But Sydney Akeem, I think he's been very impressive since leaving WWE. I don't know if a lot of people has been catching his work in Game Changer Wrestling, where he was on a bit of a winning streak. He's had, you know, some really good matches, whether it be against Gringo Loco. I know at Homecoming, he had a matchup with Tony Deppen, so connecting that Ring of Honor-ness, getting him ready for this matchup here. And I like that they put him in there with Johnny TV, like you said, who he has the Cirque du Soleil background. Johnny TV has the parkour background. And I think that, you know, we would be talking more about the match if it wasn't for that Starship Pain, where he lands directly on his head. And I know that wasn't on purpose. Like Ishii on Dynamite with one of the greatest DDTs I think I've ever seen, because he just stood on his head afterwards. But this was not done purposely. Hopefully Johnny TV is all right after that, because he's not the young whippersnapper that he was when he got named Johnny Nitro all those years ago. He's had a couple of years under his belt, so hopefully he's all right coming out of that. But him picking up the win here makes sense. He is more of the mainstay here in Ring of Honor, but it was a good showing for Sydney Akeem, and I wouldn't mind him, you know, having more appearances in Ring of Honor, because it's when you get guys like that who, you know, were in WWE developmental, kind of like EJ Nduka, who we're going to talk about later, you know, them being in Ring of Honor is a natural transition where they could still get their reps. They're still learning on the fly here, but you could see the development for them. So I wouldn't mind Sydney Akeem become a regular over here, because he has just natural athletic ability, especially when he's able to kind of get the win and you see his finisher, that double backflip cutter that he does. It's just crazy. Ridiculous to watch every single time he hits it. But I like, you know, Johnny TV getting the victory here. It says he's a guy that you can easily heat up to get a TV title matchup, or even if you want to dabble and see if he gets into the pure division. I wouldn't mind seeing someone like Johnny TV even dabble, bring some of that charisma and character work into the pure division.
I'm not mad about that. I'm not bad about that at all. And look, when you mentioned EJ, and we're going to talk about him in a little bit, I know there's like a cliche thing of like, how could you miss on that guy? And it goes in every direction. Like, of how did AEW miss on Ethan Page? Like, I'll never know. How did WWE miss on the people that have come over here? And like, I mean, you could have made the argument with Miro forever ago, obviously with Swerve, things like that. EJ is one that I'm like, okay, but like, how? Because look at the dude. like, how? How do you miss a guy that looks like that, that moves like that, that acts like that, that's 6'7", 6'8"? Like, my God, we're going to talk about that in a second. But we've got more to go through. Guys, get in those super chats if there's anything you want to talk about. If you want to ask SP3 what it was like to be a part of the Garcia Danielson family for a night. My goodness, it was like next to Brie. I love what you said about his son, though, because obviously he was a show stealer with the confetti, but like he's gonna look up in a few years and be like, what was my dad doing? That was insane. Like, he's gonna look back at him like slamming against the barricade and being so excited and just be so like, oh my god, that guy tried to murder my dad. My dad kind of tried to murder him. Did you see the ring bell situation? Like, he's gonna have a lot of thoughts, but so yes. much fun. What an incredible, incredible, incredible pay-per-view and main event that you got to be at. And I'm not at all jealous. So,
Not at all. Not at all.
Not even a little, but we get Lance Archer and Ozzy. didn't have a lot to tell. Didn't have a lot to tell in this match. Lance Archer winning with the blackout here. This was one of the squashiest squashes that ever squashed. But I will say, like, Lance Archer is great. I've had this conversation with you before, AEW ROH. Lance Archer's great. Like, he should be doing more than squashing people and losing matches adjacent of title belts. Like, he should be doing something that's very cool. Because he's great. And I like him with the Righteous. I hope that's going somewhere. After these tapings, we have ambiguity around our trios and tag divisions again. So we'll find out. And I did notice Vincent and Dutch kind of hyping up John Moxley yesterday on Twitter. So he's got something ambiguous going on. I wonder if it's something that we can dig or if they were just tweeting Dynamite. It's very possible. But
Could be either way. I wouldn't mind the Righteous and Lance Archer feuding with the conglomeration and finally pay off on another manifestation of me and Kate of Lance Archer going for the Ring of Honor World Championship against Mark Briscoe. You got time. We got a bazillion months away from Final Battle because I don't do pay-per-views between July and December for some reason. But you got a billion of these to go. So I'm willing to wait. I want to see what happens. But Lance Archer should be in the heavyweight championship scene, regardless of wherever he's wrestling, but especially in a Ring of Honor.
I agree. I agree with you, SP3. Give us more Lance Archer and things that make sense. And stories. Let him tell some stories. But we have made a lot of progress, and I don't want to fixate on the negative, but just give me everything I want. Is that so hard to ask? Like, come on.
Hey, I will give Ring of Honor credit this week because when I saw the lineup, I was like, this is feeling more like Ring of Honor being taped before Collision than what we were getting, what was it, 3 weeks ago or when we were raving about how it was like a whole bunch of stories. The last 2 weeks have felt more akin to Ring of Honor of Dark. I'm hoping that it was just an outlier. This episode was better than I expected, better than how it looked on paper. But I don't want it to lean in that direction of the Dark tapings again.
We're watching.
Yes.
We're watching. And we're holding you accountable, people. Let's move on to our RevPro Undisputed British Women's Champion, Mina Shirakawa. Versus Rachel Ellering in what I thought was a super fun match. These two had incredible chemistry. SP3 is joining AZM over there.
It's the theme song from Fast Five, basically, guys.
It pretty much is. Here's the thing, though, SP3. I don't know if you know this, but like, if you're going to be in that faction, you would have to kiss Mina Shirakawa and Mariah May, and that sounds terrible. Like, I can't imagine anybody, especially a straight male, wanting to kiss either one of them. Like, that just Mariah May and Mina Shirakawa. Like, that sounds like a rough.
I am a straight male. But I am a happily taken man by an Italian woman from Brooklyn. So if I ever would do something like that, I probably would be showing up with like less than five fingers on this hand, and my lips would be cut off. So I'll live. I'll just stick with the dancing.
This was a blast. This match made me want to dance just like that. But Mita Shirakawa getting L-ring on her back for the win here after a really, really fun sequence of L-ring hitting that pendulum slam out of a fisherman's or fisherwoman's suplex, doing a lot of damage to Shirakawa's shoulder that was targeted for a lot of this match. But you get her climbing the top rope, hitting the splash on L-ring at the end of this. This was super, super fun. There was that crab hold, but Shirakawa pulling her over onto her back for the win. I felt like their chemistry was fantastic. Like, I really liked a lot of what we got in here. This was just women's wrestling. Like, this was so much fun. And after, not a lot of time to celebrate because Taya Valkyrie appears. And she tosses L-ring out of the ring to beat up Mina, leaving her in the ring suffering in pain. Very fun to continue these stories. Taya is someone I'm glad they keep putting out there because I feel like she's found her footing so well in ROH. Yeah. Like, we've talked about it week over week, how great she's looked. In-ring-wise, this character iteration, her charisma, she just looks good just because she looks good, you know what I mean? But she's been so fantastic and really, really seems to have found her place here. She hasn't been in the title picture, but, like, I'm glad that she's continuing to be used in stories because I think she's adding so much value to this women's division. And, like, her versus Mina sounds super fun. Like, sign me up for that match, too. But Rachel looking great in defeat here. I loved what we got out of this. I thought this was so fun. What did you think?
This was one of my favorite matches of the night. I've been a big Mina Shirakawa fan since her whole story in Stardom, where she really came in, and I think it's Meerkat is a YouTuber that covers a lot of Stardom, and that's where I got like my familiarity with Mina Shirakawa from the begin with, and literally every story that she was in, it was about her boobas. Her boobas was the central character until Saya Kamatani broke her face, giving her the Phoenix Splash and splitting her face open. And she went out for a while. And then when she came back, she became this like great technical wrestler who would just break down the leg and kind of like a female Hiroshi Tanahashi with the dragon screws and the focus on the leg work of building up for either the glamorous driver or a figure four leg lock. So I've been enjoying the maturation of Mina Shirakawa ever since then. And one of my favorite moments of last year was her finally winning the Wonder of Stardom Championship from Saya Kamatani at All-Star Grand Queendom last year. But loving her in Ring of Honor and AEW. Love the program with Timeless Toni Storm and Mariah May. But this match here was just hard-hitting physical action. And I knew it would be good because we saw these two ladies sitting with each other. They actually seem like they're friends sitting with each other in the seats at Wembley Stadium during the Timeless Toni Storm versus Mariah May matchup, which is not getting enough credit for one of the best AEW Women's World Title matches ever on a pay-per-view. Just the storytelling, the emotion, the drama that was there. And Mina kind of gave us a little TV sampling of that type of work because she's so in tune with her character. She knows how to work matches, whether it be, you know, doing a big splash off the top rope, working over the leg. I just loved her working with Rachel Ellering, and I thought it was one of Rachel Ellering's best matches on TV. And that little roll up where she just catches them on the leg, it just looks so pretty every time she does it to get these victories. And our current Rev Pro Undisputed British Women's Champion, so a champion of all champions. And I believe, I'm going to call it right now, predict it right now, tomorrow night, Capital Collision, I think Mina Shirakawa is coming out to challenge Mercedes Moné to be the next challenger for the NJPW Strong Women's Championship.
Would not be mad about that for so many reasons, but largely because I'll be there. So I would love to see that, but this was hysterical from Piledriver Finisher saying, Mark Briscoe Jones over here with made up words by SP3. So good. So funny. You guys are the best. Guys, get in those super chats if there's anything that you want to talk about tonight. I loved this match. I love the angle that we're getting after, and I also love this backstage we get with Harley Cameron.
Oh, the women were center stage. It felt like old Ring of Honor, where all the stories were about the women. You had Abaddon and Athena. Sure. You had the post match with Taya and Mina, and then you're about to talk about this one here.
Yeah, and last week we were like, this was light on women, and then they came back hitting this week. This was another one that was out of Dallas, so this was probably just a matter of the taping schedule and how things were edited together. But I was in stitches at Rachel Elring getting interviewed by Minion in training extraordinaire Lexi. But she's interrupted by Harley Cameron after just, Rachel Elring is a very natural baby face in that she seems very authentic and makes you want to root for her very easily. Of just like, I love when people just say, yeah, it was a hell of a match. I lost. I got to get better. Like, I love when people are just, yeah, it just wasn't my night. I had an incredible opponent and I just need to get better. It's such like a refreshing and natural thing and human thing to hear, which I loved out of her. But Harley Cameron interrupts and she is looking for ROH. And Rachel Elring points to the flag of the microphone that Lexi Nair has, and Harley's like, oh, excellent, I'm here. And she's looking for Rachel Elring, who has an R-E on her. And she says, it's nice to meet her. And Rachel Elring says, it's like deja vu all over again. They've met before. To which Harley Cameron says, no, I don't like mustard. So
nice to meet you, Rhee.
Nice to meet you, Rhee. I had made the comparison last week that Harley Cameron could be like your Carmella kind of place in the division, or the void that Bunny left, like could kind of step up into that role. Today, I was like, it kind of gave me Chelsea Green vibes of like just the seconds that she's on screen, it's maximized. We also had that promo with Saraya where her hand was just up and she was like, technical wrestling, like absolutely hysterical. Just one of those people that just maximizing every second she's on screen for. You love to see that, and that's something very valuable to have in any wrestling promotion. So some really good stuff, really good stuff. And that, anything you want to comment on? I was just in stitches at that whole segment.
My favorite part is when I think Rachel Ellery corrected her and something, and she was like,
just
it was
no exasperated.
Words.
Yeah.
Just purely exasperated. And like, and then just, she grabs Lexi by the hair. Is like, are we just hiring anybody now? Like, oh my God. I was like, this woman is so entertaining. I was like, I said it earlier today on our AEW review, talking about her matchup with Jamie Hayter. I was like, I expect Harley Cameron when she's wrestling I think that when you're so early in your career, you expect them to be a little bit green, but she's a lot less greener than I thought she would be with only, 20 or so matches that she has. But yes, you can see why she is hired whenever she has a talking segment, whenever she's able to display her character. She just has charisma out the yin-yang. Like, yeah, it's ridiculous amounts of charisma, and she knows how to play her character well. And I like the fact that they have paired her up with someone like Rachel Ellering, where, you know, Harley Cameron is such an oblivious douchebag heel. Well, Rachel Ellering is like the nicest person around. So they play off each other very, very well.
I think Harley Cameron is an absolute hoot. And I think down the line, she can also make a really good face. Like, I think if she wants to be someone that we can get behind, she could make that happen for us. Like, I really think that there's a baby face in there that we could empathize with, because I feel as though heels of this type and faces just aren't that far away from each other. So some good stuff here. Well, I was very happy to see LSG and the Ace of Space Academy back in ROH against Top Flight and Action Andretti. It was fun having clarity while it lasted, whether we had a tag team in a trios division or not, but this was a very fun match with a pretty obvious ending here. You were going to have Top Flight hitting that triple team to knock GKM out and get the pin. I've long been a proponent of LSG. I think he's very underrated. And early in this match, you had him and Action Andretti kicking things off and watching them work. I was just like, yeah, no, I maintain my stance that LSG is very underrated. Because, like, they just, even in exchanging waist locks, like, all of his facial expressions and There's not stories when you're being used kind of as an enhancement talent like this, but he very quickly can make one, and even in these brief exchanges, everything looks great from an in-ring standpoint. His footwork is some of the best, I think, in wrestling, but today it was just like, you could see it translate on his face, like, early in this with Action Andretti, like, okay, like, how am I approaching this guy? I would like to see more of that from Action Andretti, to be perfectly honest. Like, I need to see that next layer from Action Andretti, because I'm sold on the athleticism and what he can do in the ring. I am not yet sold on his in-ring storytelling, because I think there's still a ways to go there, and this is the place that we need to see that kind of step up, but this was really good. GKM, also a fantastic talent here out of the Northeast. I've gotten to see all of these guys quite a bit, and we also had Colton Charles in there from Ace of Space Academy. So a fun trios match. This was a short-lived one, but I liked what we got here. I just want to know, like, are they a trio or are they a tag team? I ask this on a weekly basis, I feel like. Help me out, SP3. What do we got?
I'm going to say that they're better off as a tag team, because I feel like Top Flight should be in the mix in the AEW World Tag Team Division, but they should definitely already be Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions instead of who we have as Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. But I will say the good news of this matchup here is no stripper flight attendant gear.
Yay!
They had on regular wrestling gear. Congratulations, Top Flight. I guess they heard us talking about how stupid those outfits were. Hopefully they're listening. I think we're on a good path, because y'all weren't wearing the stupid flight attendant gear at All In and Wembley Stadium. Y'all didn't wear it here. So I'm going to hold out hope.
Might have just been for that MXM match. Like, that might have been to try and meet the maximum male models where they were at fashion-wise, and they just failed. Like, sometimes you take a risk and it doesn't pay off, you know?
This is true. So I'm hoping that was the case. I'm hoping. Please.
My God.
Let's all bring it together. All bring it together. Let's have a prayer circle with our tips. That's our tip circle.
Let's Kevin Blackwood have. Kevin tweeted that he gave an MXM tramp stamp tattoo.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. so you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Legend. Legend.
Kevin Blackwood is someone that should be kicking around ROH. Would not mind seeing him in that pure division. He's outstanding. He's had quietly kind of one of the best indie years in wrestling, like Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong, Mustafa Ali. Like he's really good. Like they should have him around. But I'll tell you who didn't get to stick around very long, and that was Demo Diamond against DJ and Duka. This was another squash. But man, what a fantastic talent they have in EJ and Duka. I'm very, very happy to see him continuing to work ROH. Very happy that he's around this product. And just, Uzu's superstar here. He's 2-0. He gets big cheers from the family at ringside. Diamond, not a small dude either, which was good. It's like nice to see someone kind of closer to his side, but those hammer strikes on Diamond, I thought were really fantastic, but you get kind of a little cockiness with the standing cover from EJ here. The birthday boy this week, happy birthday to him. But yes, this was quick, but it was fun, and I don't mind squashes when they're like building a guy up for something. I don't know what they're building EJ up for, but it feels like he's a prioritized talent, so if they're going to have quick matches, I would hope it would be to do something like this, establishing, because I'm not the biggest squash gal.
I am okay with squashes if it either is leading to them getting in some type of title picture or them gearing up to get a role on AEW television. And that's why a lot of times when we were talking in the past about the Marina Shafir squashes, I think we were both on board with that because we could see her going up to the women's TV title division or women's world championship. But instead, those squash matches have led to her getting a role on AEW television alongside Jon Moxley. So congratulations to her for seemingly getting a call up from ROH.
She's been wanting that for a long time, and she looked fantastic yesterday. So yes, for sure.
She did. She did. And I feel like EJ Nduka is more on that side. It's more of like a male Marina Shafir, where you can easily see him getting some type of role as a muscle for a mainline star on AEW television. I don't necessarily think these squashes are going to lead to him getting a shot at Mark Briscoe for the Ring of Honor World Championship or being possibly the next person to become Ring of Honor TV champion. Easily, I can also see that. But yes, I think that his look is just ready made to be on mainline AEW television. You just have to find the right role for him. He has such a domineering presence to him, and it's very akin to Obafemi over on NXT, where he's just dominant.
Yeah.
He's just dominant. He has this presence. When you look at him, you instantly say, okay, that's a star. And how did WWE miss on this guy? And you say, Tony Khan, you better not miss on this guy, because this guy has something that no one else on your roster has. He just immediately looks like a guy that should be in the main event scene, should be associated with bigger stars or feuding with bigger stars. So I'm hoping the best for EJ and Duka, because there's not a lot of guys like that on AEW or ROH.
So let me throw this at you, first of all. We saw in wrestling news, the Hurt Syndicate got trademarked. Now, I don't know if they are coming to AEW. I have no idea. I do know that there was a report that MVP punched Chris Jericho on his own boat. So I don't know if MVP wants to come into the ROH AEW picture if he's knocking out one of the dudes on his own boat, who is a pretty big part of what's going on at AEW. But EJ and Duka kind of in a picture like that, or an act that was that cool, could be something that's very, very fun. So we'll see what's in store. But it certainly feels like we have something that can't miss. But you know what, SP3? If maybe your own matches aren't lasting long enough, if you're not exactly standing at 6'8", you know what I mean? BlueChew.com, code FIGHTFUL.
My friends, you know we always care about your performance at Fightful, and we want to keep that performance at a main event level. And you can with Blue Chew and the code FIGHTFUL. The same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a much more affordable option. Blue Chew is ready whenever you are or whenever you're not. Helps give you that extra motivation. That way you can make sure that your performance is at a championship level. You go online to BlueChew.com, and when approved by our online physicians, you get that confidence. You get that performance. And you get it shipped straight to your door. No awkward conversations with the doctor. No waiting in line at the pharmacy. All that stuff. Use that code FIGHTFUL. Get your first shipment free. That's how confident that they are that they're going to make you confident. What do you have to lose? BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
I got to do a Blue Chew ad on our show today, and I knew the perfect segue would come. My apologies to EJ and Duca for having to be the catalyst for it, but sometimes if something gets teed up, you gotta knock it out of the park, which is what we're doing here on the ROH Post Show. But we've got TNA talk coming on the back of the show with Joel and Cresta, so stay tuned for that. Nick Nemeth defending his title. So much cooking on TNA, but we've got more ROH to talk about, so get in those super chats if there's anything you want to discuss. We'll also take this moment to remind you to leave a thumbs up, because triple the amount that we're watching at the beginning of the show are watching now. So we do ask that you leave a thumbs up on this video. We also ask that you subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. There was a report a few weeks back that there was a renewed focus on this brand. It certainly seems like there's at least some sustained efforts that continue to indicate that that was true. Lots of reports going on there. A lot of British wrestling posts from Corey Brennan, who's our NXT and European wrestling scoopster over there. So much happening at Fightful Select. More and more contract news. Keep an eye out, because I'm not talking about Becky Lynch, but there are some big contracts that are still waiting in the wings. I know that there's a lot of information circulating right now. Get the most accurate information you can directly from the source. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Everyone's touching tips in the chat. Love to see it. Leave a thumbs up. Leave a tip touch as we work our way through ROH. But this was a fun episode. As we're going back and talking about it, I was like, there was some good stuff here. There's some good stuff here. So, Evil Uno and Jacoby Watts locking up here. We did find out unfortunate news about Nick Camarado, that he is injured, and not like, oh, what a cute little injury someone has. Like, for reals, he's injured as been wrestling on a rough one for a very long time, it sounds like. So kudos for him for being a tough son of a bitch, but also kudos to him for putting his health first. He's going to come back bigger and stronger than ever. This guy has a lot of personality. He has all the components to be a great wrestler. I'm firmly believe that as long as his recovery goes right, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with at some time soon. But keeping Jacoby Watts in the picture here, justice for Uno, as we saw on Being the Dark Order. This poor guy getting slapped around on this show, getting slapped around by Hangman, doesn't enter the casino gauntlet because his number never comes up. My God, but he gets the win here with a pile driver. Some good stuff, too, that Piledriver proceeded with that big boots and DDT. This was fun. This was hard hitting. And I'm just glad to see Uno in the ring. The commentary team doing a good job here of saying it was so nice to see him, like, in singles action. Because you get to see a different side of him than when he's kind of in those trios matches with Reynolds and Silver, or in tag team matches himself. You get a bigger sample of what Uno can do, and it was a good one here. Not the most integral match to the show, because I don't know if this is leading to a full story, but we saw some good stuff from here, and Watts continues to be an interesting little character. He's a little shifty. I don't know what this guy's up to, and I don't know if I liked it, but I respect people that think they're cult leaders, because, like, that takes a lot of confidence. What did you think?
I mean, he reminds me of the bunch of guys that would wear that hold Bibles on, like, 125th and give you like the word of God on the corner of 125th and like 7th Avenue. But Jacoby Watts, yeah, that's all I got for him. But Evil Uno, I like seeing him in singles action, seeing him on his own here. I was kind of surprised that he got the win, despite him going against Jacoby Watts, which I should have just assumed that, yeah, he's going to get the win. But I'm not used to seeing Evil Uno get the win. But justice for Evil Uno, number 13 in the Casino Gauntlet, but number one in our hearts. And he got the victory here. And the Dark Order, though, confused me because it feels like usually they're heels, and they have been heels for the last couple of weeks, especially with their rivalry with Dustin Rhodes, Sammy Guevara, and the Von Erichs. And then they were basically baby faces here, which I think might be the best thing for them long term, because I don't really see them as heels. I think they're better as baby faces, but it is confusing when it goes from week to week like that.
Yeah, this felt largely like that story got interrupted by Camarado's injury. Like this, and they didn't want to, like, I don't know what the pivot is going to look like for Jacoby Watts, because he seems like someone that you bring in to play a very specific role of a story like this. And then all of a sudden you have to change plans and things look different. So we'll definitely give him time to work that out for sure. But I'm with you. Like, they should pick a plan and stick to it with the old Dark Order, because they're great. And I'm a firm believer in leaning into, like, people's personalities. And it feels like John Silver's out here singing Creed, and he was doing those, like, movie reenactments and chose Anchorman as a scene to do. Like, lean into that. We did that with these guys, but I get it. Like, you want to be able to get people different sides to show. So we'll move on here to Josh Woods of the Premier Athletes. And I got to tell you, this Mark Sterling, there needs to be an ROH fact checker. Ian Riccoboni, I'm challenging you to start checking a little bit harder. Because Mark Sterling's like, we're out here. We had the best rivalry of all time under the AEW ROH umbrella. I've got some opinions and some questions of my own with Mark Sterling, but hey, how many times on this show and in my life have I been asking for Josh Woods to be in action on ROH television, AEW television, put him on MLW, I'll start reviewing that. Like, give me Josh Woods, man. And I'm not the only one that thinks that, because we got this super chat from Shame Monster that says, TMD Kate, SP3 Little Birds pitched my doorstep. What's the girl put your record on? Isn't that song? Lay your head down. I think that's the
first lyric. Go get him. All right, I hear you.
Thank you. I think that's the first lyric to that song. But all right, is Woodsy's tombstone wheelbarrow German suplex new, or have I not been attentive? It's not that you haven't been attentive, it's that we haven't gotten to see it in frickin' forever, but it is not new.
I think the last time I saw it was when he beat Jonathan Gresham for the Pure Championship. God,
that was 645 years ago. That was before Tony Khan bought ROH, legit. So that was forever ago. A lot of his Pure matches, when it felt like he was going to be the guy to face Shibata, were kind of squashes or didn't really allow for stuff like this. But he is a specimen. He's so impressive. Very, very happy to see him in action here. Would like to see him in longer action, as I was saying, when he had all those squashes, because he's just a really fun wrestler to watch. So I want to see him do so for longer. Already used my Bluetooth segue, so that's a shame. But, like, it's such a tough life out here, SP3. But this was... I'm glad Josh Woods is back on my screen. I would like to see him targeted towards something. And with Lee Moriarty having a real Pure run, it feels like he should be kind of maybe sneaking back into that picture, in my opinion. There were some references to his Pure title reign on commentary tonight, which maybe we're sprinkling a little bit in there. But Barrett Brown having a bad day at work. Bad day, Barrett Brown. I'm so sorry for you. But he's great. We've seen him before, and he's quite good. So, but this was fun. This was good. I hope it leads to bigger and better things, because I love Josh Woods and I want to see more of him. Your thoughts on this?
I'm all for a Josh Woods push, but yeah, that was my main takeaway, was the finish of the matchup and how long it's been since I've seen it. And I will say, I am a supporter of Smart Mark Sterling, and I did my fact checking, and he told no lies. He never tells a lie. I think he's passed all his lie detector tests. He got 100%, A+. However you grade a lie detector test, he got full marks.
Look, I appreciate your assessment, but it's not like he's Nigel McGuinness, okay? Nigel has never told a lie, but I don't know.
I mean, that's
true. I don't know about Smart Mark, man. I don't know, but. But a fun look, if you're gonna do a squash, this is where you do it, because I'm gonna remember that spot. That is the only super chat that we got tonight, was about that spot. So that's how good it was. People wanted to pay money to talk about it. So some good stuff there. But hey, this is another good thing that we got. It is Layla Gray versus Promise Braxton. And what I think was the best I've seen Layla Gray look in ring. She's someone that got a shot during the pandemic, joined the baddies. She's a singer and a dancer, I think, and an ultimate performer, but she was very new to wrestling when AEW got their hands on her, and seems like she's been putting in the work, because I think this was the best we've seen her kind of from every aspect, not just the in-ring execution of moves, but like she was pausing and taking in those audiences' reactions a little bit more and a little bit more vibrant with the facial expressions and stuff like that, so... Not the longest match, but a very effective one, I think, in that it showed a lot of progress from the last time we saw her in the ring. And I gotta say, one thing I like about ROH that I firmly should be believe should be universal in all of wrestling, and I'm pretty sure the infantry set the standard for this, is I like it when men come out with women when they're in the same stable. I like that Johnny TV comes out with Taya. I like that Top Flight came out with Layla Gray. I like that the infantry come out for Trish Dora. I like that because for so long, and it's not their fault, but like women were the valets of stables. They didn't really get to do a lot, or when they did, because of the era that they were wrestling in, it wasn't like they were having their own 10-minute matches or whatever. And so the men didn't come out for theirs because that was the girls' thing to do, and we've gotten away from that. And I love how much of that we get in ROH. And nice to see that trickle down here with Layla Gray, too, who she's allowed to have the flight attendant outfit. She looks good in this, all right? This fits her. I don't need Darius and Dante in it so much, but she belongs with this look. She looked great in there. But I was impressed. I was really impressed by the growth that we've seen from the last time she was in the ring. What did you think of what we got? And Promise Braxton, by the way, an excellent wrestler. We've seen her a few times, but this to me was more of a showcase for Layla to show what she can do.
Yeah, it definitely was, and I like what we saw from Layla Gray. Like you said, she's showing that, you know, evolution in her game. I got to see her a little bit more I think it was Reality of Wrestling and OVW. I think she had a stint over there as well, where I was able to kind of see her a little bit more, see her grow over there. So, yeah, and she was also featured on that Wrestlers reality show that was on Netflix. So, if I'm not mistaken, so got to see her in a couple of other different places where I was like, oh, I know her from AEW and Ring of Honor. And now seeing her here, you could see the improvement in her game from working on those independent promotions is helping her out here. She gets the character that she's playing right now, and she's getting more confidence. And I think we need more reps for her. But I just like overall them establishing that, yes, she is a wrestler. She's not just a valet.
Agreed, and she wins with a butterfly brainbuster. Like, she was not pulling those out before. She looked good, very similar to the Angel's wings, which I loved commentary pointing out. Like, this is Layla's wings, I thought was a cute little nod on commentary there. But really good stuff, very encouraging to see. It's the stuff that makes you kind of, like, root for this as a developmental brand, for sure. So,
yeah,
love seeing that. But I'll tell you what I don't like. This nasty attitude from Blake Christian. He used to be such a nice boy. We used to be a proper country, okay? But now we got the GCW'd up version of Blake Christian.
I love it.
Truly very fun against Rosario Grillo, who we've seen many times in an ROH-AEW umbrella for sure. Nightmare Factory student looked good here, but this was all for Blake Christian to show that he's a big fat meanie now. And... You get that vicious shoulder stomp stretched out, like brutal, brutal, brutal. And he gets the pin here. I loved commentary pointing out that This is normally where he'd go for the Fosbury flop, but he's not here to do that anymore. He's not doing stuff to pop the crowd. He's doing stuff to inflict pain. Good piece of commentary. These guys are so great. This is disappointing because I always thought Blake Christian was a nice boy. What did you think?
I knew that Blake Christian wasn't a nice boy. I watched my Game Changer Wrestling, and I know he's just a dirty, rotten scoundrel. I got to see him in the Best of Super Juniors where he played more of his ECW, his GCW role instead of, you know, ROH Blake Christian, who has been a happy-go-lucky high flyer. This is the role and the character that is going to help him make a difference and be what he needs to be in Ring of Honor, showing that edge to him, showing that cockiness and trying to inflict pain on his opponent. And no one makes a springboard 450 look like a violent move more than Blake Christian in the game right now. That was a great finish to the matchup, but that's what I need. I need the heel turn from Blake Christian. We saw a little bit of it at the end of his matchup with Lio Rush. I wouldn't mind if they go back to that and they build a little series of matches between those two guys, because I think it's a type of rivalry, in-ring rivalry, that can elevate both guys at the same time, with Lio getting more reps on Ring of Honor and Blake Christian showing off his new character more.
I am fine with him being a big meanie in the ring, but he needs to bake cookies for his neighbors.
No.
He's got to go volunteer.
No, he hangs out with Missy Hyatt. No.
What are you saying, SV3, that Missy Hyatt's a bad influence?
I'm saying that Missy Hyatt has a history.
She does.
Yeah.
She does. Yep. We're going to just move. So Ishii and Ario Daivari, but we get this chat from Tom LaValle saying Top Flight just needs tearaway pants, in my opinion. Yes, I am team. I'm team breakaway pants for like pretty much any circumstance. I don't care what it is. Weddings, funerals, I don't care. Breakaway pants are great. They're so much fun. They look so cool. Team breakaway pants. I don't know if it's just kind of coming off of my like Olympic high or whatever. Breakaway pants are great. Are you team breakaway pants or no?
Yeah, I am. I watch a lot of NBA where they have breakaway pants, so I'm here for it.
There you go. They set the standard in breakaway clothing.
They did. They did. Just pull it apart, leave it on the sideline.
Let us know in the chat if you are team breakaway pants or not. And if you are not, you can leave the stream right now. So.
Yeah. Touch tips if you're for breakaway pants.
Yeah, touch tips if you're breakaway pants. Boom. Boom. Here for it. Here for it. Ishii and Ario Daivari, premier athletes conglomeration led by big fat liar Mark Sterling here. But Ishii favoring his chopping hands. I guess Ario Daivari has like a chest of steel, but this was super, super fun. This is like, if you're going to have Ishii around, have him do this. Have him beat the ever-living crap out of people. That's all we want in this world. But this was fun. This was fun. Daivari looks good. I don't think this match is leading to anything. This episode was not a full 2 hours, but it did feel kind of longer than it needed to be. This was one of those things that probably could have gotten cut, but there were no complaints about it. It just felt like it was just here to have a match on the card, which is not the worst thing in the world, but We probably could have cut this out if we needed to, but unless the premier athletes are being properly built, or we're getting premier athletes versus conglomeration like four realsies, I don't know if we needed this. What did you think?
I was fine with this matchup because it was one of maybe five matchups on this 9-match card that felt like an actual match between guys that I know instead of just multiple squash matches. So I'm always down for a match where we can get both guys get a decent amount of offense here. And I thought that Daivari working over the hand and arm after Ishii hit the pole was a nice way for him to get heat. But Ishii is Ishii. He's one of the best, in my opinion, as far as his selling, his ability to get the crowd behind him. And I like him overcoming the interference of Smart Mark Sterling and getting the victory. And now he's won back-to-back from the All-In pre-show against All-In 0 Hour against Stokely Hathaway, and this match here, getting wins with the sliding lariat, which is usually just a near fall for him. and then he has to hit the vertical drop brainbuster. But you're versing Daivari, you're versing a Stokely. You don't need to you know, work out your arms or your neck and put people up for vertical drop brainbusters. Just hit them with the sliding lariat, get the job done, get up out of there. And if this is the swan song for Ishii in Ring of Honor and AEW, I'm happy that he's doing it with a victory, because I'm thinking that Friday, when he's at, when he's on Capital Collision, teaming up with Hiroshi Tanahashi against Bad Dude Tito and Robbie Eagles of TMDK, as well as the grizzled young veterans in a three-way matchup. I think this is New Japan's way of picking up Ishii and bringing him home to Japan. My only question, and this is a very serious question, Kate, for you, for the people watching: should Chaos and Conglomeration go to court for custody of Ishii?
It's tough, because I feel like the Conglomeration knew that Ishii was just like summering in America. You know what I mean? I don't think it has to get that ugly. I think we can work this out in arbitration. I do feel like they should make them pay to take him back, though. Like, there should be a financial exchange or a trade. Make a trade. You want to take Ishii away? Throw someone our way. Throw us.
He's an uncle now. He's an uncle to little Jay Briscoe.
It's true. And the baby title, which we got to play with. But send us Yuya Uemura. He had a great G1. You make a trade, do something for yourself. What I'm gonna miss is Ishii commentary, though, because he was a legend on Collision.
He was riveting. He was riveting. Riveting stuff.
Fantastic.
So your point, I love Nigel finally speaking Japanese when he leaves the commentary table.
Oh my god. Like, look, I know it's like, I know I'm committed to the bit of loving Nigel McGuinness, but like, I really do love this guy so much. Like, he's so great. He's so great. And by the way, like, it was so overwhelming that he had such a great in-ring return. And then I see that lariat off the ropes, and I was like, he looks phenomenal as well. Like, he did. That was sitting in his, memory somewhere for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Muscle memory.
But really, really good stuff. Guys, we're coming down the home stretch before we throw it off to the TNA crew, who I know is very excited to talk to you guys about this episode of TNA and all things going on at TNA right now. But earlier in the show, we have a promo from Shane Taylor to kind of help move the story along, help set things up, doing what Shane Taylor does best, and running down Moriarty's opponents for the night, saying that Angelico, they switched the pronunciation, so do I, that he better protect his neck out there, and kind of puts over the viciousness of Ali Moriarty versus someone who's a little bit of a loosey-goosey out there in Angelico. But this was a very, very fun main event. You know me, I'm a pure rules sicko. SP3 was tweeting about it. So I was very excited for this pure rules match. And I really liked the story we got out of this with the forced rope breaks. I loved commentary saying, much like Josh Woods' pure title run, Lee Moriarty doesn't like to use those rope breaks. If he can avoid it, he will.
Yeah.
Really, really excellent stuff. Angelico's ability to move out of submissions just with, like, being extremely athletic and smooth never ceases to amaze me. But they did a great job with this. Moriarty standing tall with the win. But, like, God, I love pure matches, because they just... In a regular wrestling show, would you have something that is a specialty like this? Much like NXT with the Heritage Cup, it really does break up a couple hours of wrestling in a beautiful way. Here in the main event, really excellent stuff. But these two, I knew were going to put on an awesome match. And this was my match of the night, though Mina and Rachel Ellering gave it a run for his money. I loved what we got out of this. What did you think?
This was splendid. This was really brilliant, like transitions and counter work. Love them just doing the different like hammer locks and different arm moves going back and forth. The story of the matchup being kind of trying to eliminate all the rope breaks of your opponent. And I like that it was Lee Moriarty who used his last rope break on when Angelico got on his finishing move, which has put people away in the past, that little leg lock twist into the ankle lock that he always does. And I was figuring that we were going to see Lee once again use the ropes to get the victory, but instead he pulls out the Hiromu roll and gets the 1-2-3. So I love the storytelling of the matchup, and man, Ian Riccaboni and Caprice Coleman, once again, one of the best commentary teams in the game. They just tell the story so well, and they connect the dots on everything. If you're not understanding what's going on with the storytelling and the matchup, they bring it all together, and that's what a commentary team should do. Even if it is not a long, drawn-out, weeks-at-a-time story going into the title match, they get you firmly invested into the story that's going on throughout the match. Up the two different characters that we're talking about, the two different, or you know, wrestlers, that their skill levels, what they do well in the ring, and they bring it all together, which makes into a perfect little picture for you and a perfect bit of business. So yeah, I agree with you. This was the match of the night and one of my favorites on Ring of Honor television over the last couple of weeks. I think this was one of the most enjoyable times that I had watching a matchup.
Lee doing excellent work, because the series of matches that he won this from Yuta with were really great too. I loved him not cheating to win, because he needs to evolve as a champion, and he can still be an asshole and play with the rules, a la Nigel McGuinness actually, but him not using the ropes to do it every time. Like, pure rules are not a place where you should be winning the same way twice all the time. Like, that's a really, really good way to change how you're telling the story every time in there. And yes, Caprice and Ian, my favorite commentary team in the game, but on pure rules matches specifically, the work that they do is like its own work of art underneath it, because they add so much value to the point where I'd rather watch a match like this listening to them than I would rather them being there live, because you miss stuff that they add in there, and they're so great with Caprice's ability to put you in the mind of the wrestler and Ian's ability to weave in and out the way that the story is told for you is just unreal. But let's see if we can catch Cresta mid burp again as we bring on our TNA crew. We're going to bring in Joel. We're going to bring in Cresta, who is sadly not mid belt here, but
I was muted. I was ready this time. I had to blow my nose. You wasn't going to catch me slipping 2 weeks in a row.
Mm-mm. I'm upset. Oh, it was like
an
incredible moment. An incredible moment last
week. Next time.
we'll throw it over to you guys and get out of here. I know we're almost at the 10:10 mark, so we'll hop out, Ski, but have a wonderful time, guys. Support these two. Send in those super chats as we throw it over to them. Get in that TNA talk. We're out of here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.